I'd like now to welcome Emily Kaltenbach. She is the New Mexico director of the Drug Policy Alliance. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you. Now, what is the Drug Policy Alliance all about?
Well, we're an organization that works in the policy arena. We try to shift policies around drug misuse and abuse into the healthcare system from the criminal justice system. We also try to advance policies that reduce the harms of prohibition, because we know that a lot of people are being arrested for having an addiction or small amounts of drugs for possession charges.
Or not even having an addiction.
Or not even having addiction. And ending up in our criminal justice system.
And so every year there are, both on a national level and on a state level, all sorts of noises made about the legalization or decriminalization of marijuana. And New Mexico has, what do we have so far? We have a medical marijuana bill.
We have a medical marijuana law that was passed in 2007. Great program. We have over 8,000 patients in that program. Medicinal cannabis has been incredibly successful in their lives in reducing pain and suffering for many serious illnesses. So that's been a huge step forward for our state.
Tell us more about that. What kind of illnesses is it treated for, and what have you actually seen?
So from MS to HIV/AIDS to chronic pain to individuals who are suffering from cancer, many patients who unfortunately are on hospice and in their last months and days of their lives, this medicine really is important to them and their families to relieve that suffering. There's also many patients who are on the program for PTSD, and those are veterans returning home from our recent wars who are suffering huge symptoms from those wars, as well as individuals like that have suffered from sexual trauma, and even some first responders in our state that, yeah, you know, also have PTSD from their exposure to trauma in the line of duty.
Do you think that marijuana is losing its stigma as being a kind of the drug of basically slackers?
I think there's a huge shift. There's a momentous shift that's happening across the country. And in the last 2 years, there have been some recent polling that shows that over 50% of Americans now believe in reforming our marijuana laws. And that also, that all the way from medical marijuana, which actually polls really high in, yeah, this country, to taxing and regulating marijuana like is happening in Colorado and Washington.
Now, what actually is happening in Colorado and Washington?
So in November on the ballot, there were two initiatives that proposes to treat marijuana like we do alcohol. So taxing and regulating the use, the possession of marijuana from an ounce or less, and actually creating a whole economy around it. And these states are going to see millions and millions of dollars in revenue. And we're also going to reduce the burden on our criminal justice system by not arresting and prosecuting people for having small amounts, tiny amounts of marijuana.
And so when you talk about taxing and regulating and having a marijuana-based economy and or that, you know, sector of the economy, what does that actually look like? I mean, will it be what alcohol is? You can advertise it in magazines. You can, you know, sell it in pretty packages in stores. I mean,
so there's a lot to be figured out about sort of what the rules and regulations will look like. So in Colorado, they actually have put together a task force that will determine how it will actually be regulated. And so, you know, in some cases, it may not be look exactly like alcohol, but the idea is that anyone who's 21 years or younger will not be allowed to purchase or possess marijuana like occurs now with alcohol. And there will be a whole licensing and taxing of a manufacturing system and economy so that individuals can purchase marijuana legally in their states. And so I think it'll look a little different in Colorado than it does Washington. So we'll wait for the next year to really see how those rules and regulations are determined.
And presumably some people will sell their specialty, which is organic, and some people will spray theirs with pesticides, and that will be reflected in the labeling and all of that.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be really interesting to see how this industry actually gets created in these two states. I mean, I just want to mention that these initiatives passed by an overwhelming amount. So
yeah.
It was about 55-56% of those voters actually voted in favor. So this is even higher than the 50% I quoted that we're seeing nationally.
And so do we know what's going on in those states? Like if you, for example, walk into a bar, can you light up a joint?
So again, all of those sort of specifics are still being ironed out.
Yeah.
For example, in Washington, there's no public consumption of marijuana allowed. And so in some cases, that's already been defined in the initiatives that have passed. But we're going to see, again, the states develop their own rules and regulations for those initiatives.
Now, one of the things that is happening right now is that there is a memorial being considered right now in the New Mexico State Legislature to study the regulation and taxation of marijuana here in New Mexico. So basically it's like, okay, let's see what these other states are doing and study what it would look like if we did it.
Yeah, I mean, this is really a study to see what the economic impact would be. And so it'll ask the department, New Mexico's Economic Development Department, to study both the potential revenues that our state could see if such a measure was put into place, as well as I had mentioned, the savings to the criminal justice system. So the savings, you know, if our law enforcement didn't have to spend time arresting and booking individuals for possessing small amounts of marijuana, they could deal with more serious violent crime that we know exists in New Mexico.
Right.
It would relieve the burden on our prosecutors and our public defenders and our court system. So there's a huge amount of savings that could be realized with the taxation and regulation.
Well, another savings, I don't know if this is right or not, but it seems to me that if marijuana were legalized, regulated, and taxed, a lot of the people who were drinking alcohol might switch to marijuana, and then your rate of violent drunken crime would also go down.
Yeah, I mean, we've spoken sort of behind the scenes with lots of law enforcement around this to get their impression. And oftentimes they'll say, we never went to a call for domestic violence because of marijuana.
Right, but alcohol is probably off the charts.
Off the charts. And so, you know, I think, again, people, there's a tide shifting, but we're hoping that more and more voices will come out in support of this because everyone from our law enforcement to our court system to our healthcare professionals are realizing that we're wasting millions of taxpayers' money every year on this issue.
Very interesting. So there is this proposed memorial, which if it passes, it means there will be a study.
There'll be a study.
And then that study will be done in some period of time. What is it, just a year or more than that? Or?
It's in a year. The department will have to report back to the legislature before the 2014 legislative session with their findings.
Okay. And so we will find out about that. And if it turns out to be a tremendous potential economic driver for the state of New Mexico, then that's something that either the voters or the legislators will have to really start to deal with.
That's right. So then it becomes, it really will then inform future policy, whether that's next year or in future years. And I think we'll wait and see what happens in Colorado and Washington. We'll have a lot to learn about how they develop their systems so that we can follow in their footsteps in a good way.
Meanwhile, there is, I think, well, you can tell us about this, but it seems like there may be a coming clash between federal law and state law.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely still this inherent conflict between federal law because marijuana is still on Schedule I, which is still illegal under federal law. And so I think that's also what we'll wait to see what occurs in Colorado and Washington is what is going to be the federal response to this. Now, we were encouraged both in Denver and in Seattle when the city prosecutors dropped the pending cases of those individuals who had been charged with possession of under an ounce. And so we're hoping that will resonate, that the federal government isn't going to go after small small users of marijuana. So we have a lot to see. We were also encouraged that the Obama administration remained very silent during the ballot initiatives that we saw in November, past November. So
that was encouraging.
That was encouraging, and they didn't come out in opposition. I mean, they made no comment at all. And so we will wait to see how the federal government decides to reconcile these state laws and the federal law.
We're talking to Emily Kaltenbach of the Drug Policy Alliance. She's the state director here in New Mexico. Now, there is another bill before the legislature that has to do with reducing penalties for small amounts of marijuana possession.
Yeah, so this is really a very modest bill. It's not earth-shattering. It's not unique. 15 states around the country have reduced the penalties for marijuana starting in 1973. With Oregon. So this is, as I said, nothing necessarily unique, but it would make a huge impact on New Mexico.
Now, reducing from what to what?
So currently, up to 8 ounces of marijuana is considered a misdemeanor. 1 ounce and below is a petty misdemeanor. But to most people, they'd say, oh, it's only a misdemeanor. But misdemeanors have huge collateral consequences and also include potential jail time. And so here are families that are being ripped apart, taken out of the job market, out of the economy, to serve potentially time for having, again, tiny amounts of marijuana. So this bill would reduce from 4 ounces of marijuana below, make it a civil infraction with just a fine.
Oh, okay.
And then all the way up to 8 ounces, take away the potential jail time.
So nobody would ever go to jail for possession of 8 ounces or less. And there would be a fine or misdemeanor and what? Probably not a very high fine.
Yeah, so that we reduce the fines in the draft legislation. So up to 4 ounces, it would either be $100 or $200.
Okay.
And then increasing fines from there.
Now, how are legislators lining up? I mean, is this a partisan issue?
Well, again, you know, I think we're seeing a tide across the country that this is no longer a partisan issue. It's no longer a third rail issue. And so we're hopeful to see bipartisan support of this. Again, it's about saving the state money and improving public safety. You know, our law enforcement officers deserve to have the resources to deal with more violent crime and not be pressed to deal with small amounts of marijuana. So we are hopeful to see bipartisan support.
So let's move on to some of the other kinds of bills that don't have to do with marijuana that Drug Policy Alliance is looking at. And one of them is a tax credit for providers of, how do you pronounce that?
Buprenorphine.
Buprenorphine.
Or otherwise known as Suboxone.
What is it?
The trade name. So buprenorphine is a medicine that's approved by the FDA. And not unlike methadone, most people have heard of methadone, it relieves the withdrawal symptoms. And it also, and the cravings, and it blocks the effects
of
heroin and prescription pills.
Okay.
And so, but what the great thing about buprenorphine is that your primary care provider, if they're certified by the DEA, can actually prescribe it to you in pill format. Whereas in methadone, you go every day to get your methadone. Methadone's great and works for some people. Buprenorphine is a great alternative, especially in our rural areas where we don't have methadone clinics.
Right. And of course, heroin addiction is a tremendous problem here in the state of New Mexico.
Yeah, New Mexico leads the nation in overdose death rates. And that's more than twice the national average. And that's both from heroin, prescription drugs, cocaine. I mean, it's all the drugs combined. But when you look at the data, we're seeing a huge rise in both heroin and prescription drug overdose deaths.
Is heroin still the much bigger problem of those two, or is prescription drugs really?
Prescription drugs over the last couple of years, we're really seeing an increase in the use. But we have to remember that people actually transition back and forth between prescription drugs and heroin. So it's not that someone is just a prescription drug user and just a heroin user. There's really a lot of back and forth. And so we're really focused on opioid addiction because what's in oxycodone that makes the addiction so serious in those pills is also present in heroin. We're dealing with a very similar chemical structure, and so
right.
The addiction is very similar.
So basically, it would encourage providers to make this particular anti-addiction drug available? Do they get addicted to this new drug? Is it like methadone?
Well, I mean, it definitely has to be regulated, like any drug, and like methadone is. But when used by someone who's suffering from addiction, what it really does is block those opiate receptors in the brain, and so someone can function normally. I mean, they can be they can go to their work, they can be part of their family, they can return to society and being really functional person. So it's a great medicine, just like methadone is, but unfortunately there are very few physicians in New Mexico who are certified to offer this medicine. So this bill creates a tax credit to incentivize physicians to actually become buprenorphine providers.
Oh, okay. I would think that physicians who are dealing with drug addiction, that's a specialty in itself.
It absolutely is. But unfortunately, in our rural areas, sometimes we only have the family practice physician or the community health center. And so there's a huge burden on those physicians in needing to treat all sorts of issues, addiction included.
Now, there is another bill that the Drug Policy Alliance is looking at, and it has to do with harm reduction services. Mm-hmm. What's that about?
So New Mexico has led the nation in reducing the harm from drug misuse. And so when we're talking about addiction, which is so prevalent in New Mexico, there's some ways to really reduce the harms of those addictions. And back in 1997, we passed the Harm Reduction Act, which has led to syringe exchange programs and also dissemination of a drug called naloxone or Narcan, which, not unlike an EpiPen, can be injected or in there's a nasal way, and it stops an overdose immediately. And okay. So we are hoping to get naloxone in the hands of friends and family who can be trained to actually administer this drug. And it has no potential for being addictive or any side effects. So it's really magic when it comes to reducing an overdose immediately.
And are we talking heroin overdose specifically, opioid?
Opioid, yeah, specifically. And so we've done a great job of the Department of Health has a program in which they train people to use Narcan. But unfortunately, as we've seen in all state budgets, their budgets have declined over the past couple of years, and our people are suffering as a result.
Yeah.
And so this appropriation would give them some additional funds to continue the work they do and expand it to get it in the hands of every family. We'd love to see Narcan, naloxone in every medicine cabinet around New Mexico.
Really?
It is. I mean, again, we have to remember that opioids can also, you can suffer an overdose by, complete accident. If, let's say it's an elderly person who has a little bit of dementia, forgot when they took their last pill and takes another pain pill, and suddenly they're experiencing an overdose. So we think that naloxone is not only for those who are suffering addiction, but also to perhaps save a life of someone who mistakenly overdoses on an opiate prescription.
We're talking to Emily Kaltenbach. Now tell us about the Drug Policy Alliance as a national organization. What have been its priorities? And I mean, it seems like a pretty successful organization so far.
Yeah, an incredible. I feel very honored to be part of this organization, this advocacy group. We have offices across the country in California, Colorado, New Jersey, New York. We have a national office in D.C., and of course we have an office here in New Mexico. Some of our priorities, as in very much aligned with what we've talked about today, reducing the harms of drug misuse and reducing the harm of prohibition. And so we've worked, my colleague up in Colorado worked very much on the initiative that just passed to tax and regulate marijuana. We've worked on doing other harm reduction efforts like the Good Samaritan Bill. Actually, New Mexico was the first to pass what is called the 911 Good Samaritan Bill, which means that if someone is witnessing an overdose and they call 911, they won't be prosecuted for possession.
Oh, okay.
And so we've then been replicating that law across the country. So my colleagues...
Now, has that worked?
Well, that's a great...
Do people know about it?
That's a great question. I don't think enough people know about it. And so that's something that you know, my colleagues in New York actually just passed a Good Samaritan bill in their state, and one of the pieces of advice I gave them was please make sure there's money for education.
Yeah.
Because we can pass this law, but then no one knows about it.
Right.
And so I think we have a lot to do in New Mexico to actually teach people, inform people that this law exists, not only individuals, but law enforcement, so that they know that this is on the books, this is a law. And I think there's room to do some evaluation to say, is this really reducing, is it working? Is it the intent of the bill working?
Well, and also if you have, for example, police who are really intent on fighting the war against drugs, and somebody under the Good Samaritan bill makes a call, does that person then go on a list as somebody to watch out for later?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a database, but we know that that could easily happen, that
yeah.
those individuals then are targeted. I mean, we really, Drug Policy Alliance is fighting this war on drugs in the sense of, you know, we are wasting billions of dollars every year fighting a war that is really a war on people. And so as much as we can shift our funding and our resources from the criminal justice system into the treatment system and really, you know, start treating addiction as a health issue, not a criminal issue, allowing people to use small amounts of marijuana as long as it's not harming anyone else, these are the types of initiatives we're working on.
And again, I mean, as we touched on earlier, the vast majority of people who use alcohol and drugs don't become addicted to them.
Yeah, I mean, as we look at many substances, there many people can use, but they're not misusing or they're not dependent.
Right.
And so but then unfortunately there are some that really do suffer addictions, and those treatment options should be there.
Exactly.
And to support them. And we should have treatment on demand in this state. You know, there are mothers and fathers who say, I have to send my kids out of state in order to get the treatment they need. That's unacceptable.
Well, and then it becomes a class thing where what treatment you can afford is what you or your family gets.
That's right. Yep. So it's an issue. It's a class issue. It's a race issue. We're seeing, you know, the war on drugs is impacting communities of color disproportionately. They're impacting low-income communities. And so we're really hoping to advance policies that will end this war.
Is there anything you want to let the citizens of New Mexico know before we go?
Well, thanks for the opportunity to talk about these issues that we think are hugely important to our state, to our state's economy, to families. So I would just implore that our voters and our citizens reach out to their legislators, tell them what they think about these issues. As these bills come up in session, we ask for people who are moved to call their legislators, ask them to vote in support of reducing penalties for marijuana, for studying, taxing, and regulating marijuana in our state, and also asking them to support addiction treatment. And we know that opioid addiction affects everyone in New Mexico. Our mothers, our grandmothers, our fathers, our children are dying from this epidemic.
Yeah.
And so we ask them to please vote in support of increasing addiction treatment.
Which I have to say saves not only lives, but really does save money in the long run.
Absolutely. So everyone benefits. The state benefits, the taxpayers benefit, our law enforcement officers benefit, and our families. So it's Senate Bill 343, which is the opioid addiction treatment bill, and Senate Bill 298, which increases appropriations for harm reduction. Those are the two that have bill numbers. And the other two, be on the lookout for the other two bills to support marijuana reform.
Emily Kaltenbach is the New Mexico Director of the Drug Policy Alliance. They are on the web at drugpolicy.org. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.